another episode of Dom Day Tales. I'm joined, as always, by the Titans of Technology, the Masters of Mute, Babe, Cote, and Donnie. We're also joined by our wonderful executive producer, Dizzy Patterson. Gentlemen, welcome back after a long layoff. How's everybody doing?
Super,
Good to see you,
Justin.
Justin. Yep, good. Some of you guys might want to work on your technical skills, but we'll save that for another day. But as always, Justin, great to see you. Great to see you as well, Cote.
Well, the listeners can't see anything, you idiot.
I
So,
don't give a rat's ass.
yeah. But yeah, good to be back. I'm sure we got a lot to talk about, and I don't know where to start really, but go ahead, Justin, whatever you think.
Well, Donnie, let's jump right into it, I think.
Okay.
Well, guys, I've been told by Derek that we did have somebody who's been calling into our show repeatedly for the last 3 years
Well, let's get
and
him on. Get him on, Justin.
hung up on him multiple times.
This should be fucking good. Yeah.
He's going to join us tonight as a special guest host, the loose cannon himself. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Colin Gibber Woods.
Hey.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Jesus Christ.
Great to be
Wow.
on here.
Maybe you
Colin.
could, maybe before you get started, you could sell some of your cohorts a couple Uline headsets, okay?
And this condo only has 3 rooms, and we're all in each one right now. So,
Yeah, it's working well.
well, Colin, I'm sure you've watched enough TV shows to know that once a show starts floundering, they either kill one of their main characters or bring on a new cast member. So, we didn't want to whack one of the old guys, so we decided to bring in a new young guy. How are you feeling? You're a new coach, bringing in the loose cannons in their first Dom Day. What's going through your mind?
Yeah, well, definitely excited about the season. I mean, a lot of you might not know this, but I was a little skeptical trying to bring in a team this year. The past few years, I've really been the head of the rules committee. That's been my role at the tournament, and I like to think I was doing a really great job at that. There really hadn't been any rule, shenanigans or anything like that that's happened a few years to my
Other
knowledge. So.
than your relatives, but who cares?
Yeah, so I mean, I now with me not in that role, I am a little skeptical that maybe there might be some tampering and some, things happen with the rules. But I do think maybe, it is in good hands moving forward.
Is Nick Wolf taking over that position?
We've actually decided to dissolve the position. So, gentlemen. Colin Woods is bringing in his inaugural franchise. We're going to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the tournament in a little bit. But I mean, why don't we talk about the first Dom Day for you guys bringing in a new team? Like, do you have any advice? Maybe Donnie, you were in Dom Day One. Do you have any advice for Gibber on his first year as a captain of a Dom Day team?
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't have such a good first year. We didn't win a game, but so we might want to do everything we didn't do. But one of my favorites was, when we backed the van up right behind second base, Babe. Remember that? And
Oh,
we
it's beautiful, Donnie.
Ronnie
Beautiful.
Rothhuig's van, and then we all came out in our lime green t-shirts and Rexdale Warrior shorts. And Cooper hats that Schwepsie got from, or had his mom get from Cooper. And but yeah, we didn't do too well. So every team has its own mantra, so to speak. And interesting to see what the cannons come up with. Babe, any thoughts on
Well, Donnie, what I took from that was, don't focus on the uniforms, focus on getting talent, which I think rule number two is don't pick family your first year. If I were you, Gibber, I would stay away from picking family. I don't know when the draft is, but I would stay away from that.
Yeah, that's it. That's
I'd also like to know is Miss Beth putting fucking her fingerprint on this goddamn franchise? Because that could be a goddamn disaster.
We haven't talked about that yet, so.
One of her favorites has always been Perch Peters. That's what I've heard. Just a favorite.
Yeah, I think she's too busy focusing on what end of
Uline.
the bat to hold when she gets up for the first time in the Queen's Plate.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
Donnie.
But anyhow, let's not talk
Yep.
about that right now. Back to the cannons. And they've got not a bad squad, really, when you look at it. I Justin, are you ready to jump into that or?
Well, I think we'll hold off on talking about the teams for a second. Why don't we do a quick rundown
Okay.
of events for Dom Day 46? I know, Donnie, today we announced some pretty big news, as we always do on the day we record the podcast. Why don't we start with yourself and Babe talking about the big news that we announced today?
Babe, take it away.
The big news is that we're back at Jack's. Is that the big news?
That I mean, that's the appetizer, but the entree is the after part.
Donnie,
Well, the
you go
Windy
for it.
Gym, right? Or the Windy Gym kicks off everything. On actually, the Windy Gym doesn't kick off everything. The Men Cup does the night before, and I think we finally found enough players. Is that right, Justin? Or
Yeah,
we
maybe
have
that's what
enough.
we're confused at, Justin, is which is everything's big news,
Yeah, there's a ton of big news. I mean, maybe this is a shameless plug. We do have 20 skaters, but one goalie. So if anybody knows a goalie, make sure to let us know as soon as possible. But we got the Men Cup that does
Where's
kick.
Nye? Is Nye going to be in goal? No.
We're working through that. We're
What about
working. Lush.
Westy?
What about
Westnick.
Lush? What about Roasty? He's playing again, I thought. Is
Yep.
he in? Is he in Dom Day? Somebody said
He's
he was
in.
playing.
He's in. No, he bailed out. Yeah. Did he?
So, yeah, he bailed out at the last minute. He had something came up. And Eric has a mysterious illness that is circulating around Southern Etobicoke, and he's picked it up apparently. So he will not be able to play in the Men Cup. So we have Tulip Lush in one end, and then worst comes to worst, we'll just turn the net over and shoot pipes,
I think
so.
I believe Westy, the people that bought the Woods old place, asked Westy to finish up the bathroom renovation that he started 30 years ago. So I believe that's why he's not playing. Gibber, you can probably comment on that, I'm sure.
But in all seriousness, we do need a goalie. So anybody out there listening that knows a decent goalie, please reach out. I tried Greg Woodford today, but his comment was something like there are mice nesting in his pads in the garage, so he didn't feel like he could go. I don't know. We've got a is I thought the Golden Jet was a goalie,
The
wasn't he?
Golden Jet is a goalie.
No
Yes.
way.
He is a goalie.
That's
However,
however.
he is not a goalie this year. He could potentially be a goalie in future. The scheduling just didn't work with when he found out he was in Dom Day.
What type
What
of
are you
commitment
doing?
is he showing?
He's going to lead the WHA in goals, I think, and
Is he
the
going to
rest
another
will
league? He's gone to another
just
league. There's another Dom Day starting up.
But yes, we are still looking for a goalie. And then, so after we got the Men Cup, we have Shoot the Shit. Hoping the bar stays open past 10 p.m. this year, but we'll see how that goes. And then the next morning, we got the Immaculate French Insurrection at 10 a.m., followed by an alumni lunch at 11:30 at Jack's. And then the Windy Gym is back with a 1:05 first race. Babe, Donnie, any messages to share with the group on the Wendy Gym?
Well, last year we had a good year. We hit for a couple of big ones, and I think we walked out of there with I think we were even, weren't we, babe? By the end of the day.
Well, we were even if zero is even. Yeah. I think we were able to give everybody a buck back, Donnie, if I'm not mistaken. Which
Well,
got them
we donated.
a coffee at McDonald's the next
I
morning.
didn't get my buck, you cheap
Wow.
pricks.
We
Ask.
donated money to the sick kids.
Oh,
Remember,
that's yeah.
Justin? Yeah.
Yes, that's true. We did
Well,
donate to
like
kids.
700, I want to say.
Yeah, we
So,
actually did. We actually had a very good year last year.
yeah.
And yeah.
So some of the guys were focused on the racetrack. Others, like Babe, had their nose in the bottom of a draft beer cup sitting the whole day. So, but we had a good run there, and I would expect a good turnout. How are the forest fires doing up there? Is there any chance that we get smoked out again on the?
They're
They're
all
all.
fine.
Yeah, we're hoping
It's
they'll blow
the
through them.
fires in Rexdale that you got to worry about. Nothing to do with the ones in Winnipeg.
So the Windy Gym, which so we'll get there for the first race, and then, babe, we're usually like the third or the fourth or fifth race or something like that.
Yeah, they're gonna let me know, Donnie. They'll let me know.
Did you phone Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy Hawley let me, he said, make sure the one-eyed guy's there. I'd love to see him again and have a little roast beef spit in my eye after
Hey, you little
lunch.
prick, why don't you get back on the horse?
He'll appreciate that. He's a big listener too, by the way.
It was.
So always a treat. And this year we'll be collecting $40 off everyone that's there for the group bet. We just trimmed it back. No, we trimmed it back, babe. Times are a little tough, with everything that's going on and stuff. And so we turned it back to $40. We're hoping to get more participation. And then after the Windy Gym, a couple more races, and then we head over to Case Field. And I forget who's playing in the first game. Do you have that, Justin?
I do. The first game is the Loose Cannons versus the Herd.
Oh, I
Battle of the
love this.
Border.
Ooh,
We got.
Terrafours.
Are we going to have to pay tariffs on the Herd uniforms, by the way? Anybody know?
I think we've built that into the budget. We're anticipating, and all of the people that are coming up from south of the border may not be going back. So we're also in the process of looking for billet housing for them for the rest of the summer into the fall, because there's some issues with visas and the leadership south of the border is it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight getting all the boys and all the women and the kids back to America.
We don't want them here.
So anyhow, we may want to throw that out there, Justin, in your next email about billet housing needed, just in case we run into issues.
We can do that. I hear Eric Niskanen has a beautiful pool. Eric and Donna have a beautiful pool in their backyard, a nice little oasis that we could probably find some room in their
Yeah, I
basement.
mean, there's a lot of people when you think of all the buffs, and yes, babe.
Yeah, plus I think Mule's looking for a few short-term renters at his place, so it'll be good.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, after we and we'll get to the big event in a little bit, but we also are introducing a new event this year, the Queen's Plate, which we had our inaugural draft preceding the Dom Day draft, which will pit the flamethrowers or fireballers rather. Sorry, the fireballers. Who are coached by Lisa Donnelly and Shani. And they will be facing off against the Gallagher girls, which are led by Teresa Wolf. And I guess my mom's gonna tip her hand in some sort of coaching. We know how the size franchises go, so that might not be a good omen. But gentlemen, what are we thinking about the Queen's Plate? We saw Lana Niskanen go number one overall in a historic moment. Donnie, why don't you start us with your thoughts on the Queen's Plate?
Well, I think, the Dom Day community is thrilled, to add this new piece to the tournament. It'll be great to see the girls out there competing for the re-cup. So that'll be I think we're scheduled for Saturday at 1 o'clock, right, Justin? Is that
Correct.
yeah, and
Yeah.
it's gonna be it's a unique format. It's a 3-inning game, as I understand it, right? It's 2 innings of once through the order. And then the final inning will be, kind of a normal, if you want to call it normal, Dom Day softball inning with 3 outs and that. So it's going to be interesting. We might as well dissect the lineups right now while we're talking about it
I'd
because,
love to.
yeah, the first pick overall went to, and I'm not sure how this was determined. Justin, could you enlighten us to as how the flamethrowers, I'm sorry, the fireballers, as you
Yeah,
said.
there was a deck of cards and it was done off screen, of course, as these things normally are done off screen.
Yes.
And a card was drawn by Teresa Wolf, which was the ace, and that ace gave Teresa Wolf and the Gallagher girls the option to kick or punt. Essentially, they could draft number one overall or elect to be the home team. Teresa elected to be the home team, which is interesting in the fact that What she did at pick 2 and 3 in a snake draft, I think, will be dissected afterwards, as she showed she got the home field and some family loyalty out of the deal. But that led to the Fireballers getting baseball phenom Alanna Niskanen, number one overall.
Wow.
I mean, we can't understate how big of a pick that is. I mean, we've heard rumors and murmurs about Alanna's talent. I mean, Donnie, you're her godfather. Anything you know about her Dom Day or her baseball credentials?
Well, the thing you always defer to is the breeding, right? Just like at the Windy Gym, we look at the breeding of the horses, and all I can say, here's you look at the breeding, and you've got Eric and Donna. So,
So what are you saying, Donnie?
Alana, who's my favorite godchild, she should be ready. I've spoken to her briefly. She's ready to go, and she's ready to prove to the world why she's the number one female softball player at Dom Day. What a tag that is, right?
You know who her uncle is, eh?
Yeah. The
Kazinski.
scout.
So
Yeah.
let's where did he go, Cote?
Yeah.
71. 71. That's
That's a
yeah.
fucking
So I expect big things from her.
misprint.
But it depends where the Fireballers play her. Like, that's the big thing here, is the coaching, right, in this game. Where, the lineup, the batting order, where is Alana gonna play? Where do you envision her, babe? Would she be a natural at first base, or would she be a
I think she's got to be a fielder on that team. I mean, she can run. What I'm curious, Donnie, are Lisa and Kelly Shannon playing or just coaching?
Just coaching.
So you look at the Gallegra girls. Are Teresa and Franny playing, or are they just coaching?
They're
Justin,
playing.
they're
Wow,
apparently, yeah.
that must give them an advantage, though, I would think, when you look at that. And when I look at the teams, Donnie, I look at, what type of insider information did Lisa and Shani have about drafting the Golden Jets' wife? And I'm not sure if it's Jess or Joanne or Claudia or Deborah or Shasta. Those were all the Golden Jets' wives. I'm not sure which one this is. So, they got to know something. I mean, who
Yeah.
knows? Who know? Does anybody know the Golden Jets' wife now? Anyone?
She's a
Well,
gal. Right?
I think people know her. I think she's an unknown commodity. But after the Fireballers picked Alana, then the tables turn, and it goes back to Gallegher's girls, and look who they grabbed. I mean, was there any shock there?
Well, they went. I think that's the interesting thing about this, Donnie, is they defer, and the Gallegra girls end up with Nicole and Kelsey, who are best known for, being a part of the engine that fundraises Dom Day. They're, Cote, I'm going to come to you on this one because we usually find the Wolf girls either, working the fundraising with you on the Sunday or splitting a bottle of Fireball with you on a Sunday. So the Wolf girls pretty well. What are you expecting out of them?
Well, I'm a little disappointed at the time of the game. Like 1 p.m.'s bullshit. I think this thing should have been played at 4:30 on the Sunday, when the true Dom Day spirit would have come out. I think that would have been a lot more effective. 1 o'clock on the Saturday. It's like most of them are so hung over from Remo's. They've barely had a cocktail. So that's just my opinion on it. I think I will say they definitely get their father's competitive spirit, and that certainly Teresa, probably more than Kelsey, is going to want to kick the shit out of that other team. So that's how I see those Wolf girls. Whether they're drunk or sober, they're going to give it their all.
Yeah. And Colin, I'm going to go to you on this one, obviously.
Who's call? Who's calling? Who's
Oh,
calling?
Colin Woods, Gibber. I'll go
Oh,
Gibber.
give. Okay. Just
Gibber
checking.
on
I
this
wasn't
one.
sure.
No, good call,
Yeah.
Cote. Good
We'll just make
call.
sure his
Who the
connections still
fuck is
work
calling?
Great segue there, because this is the first time in Dom Day history we've had two Collins on the same broadcast. So
No, the other one's Colin. Colin.
Yeah. Oh,
Colin.
Colin.
So Gibber, I mean, Beth had her first Dom Day last year. This is her second Dom Day, and instantly into the fire. She is a member of the Gallegra girls, and she was their third pick. She went awfully high. I mean, that's got to say something about how well she's ingratiated herself to the group. But also, what advice are you giving her, both as a Dom Day coach, her significant other, and somebody who has been raised in the Dom Day community as she makes her big debut as the third pick for the Gallagher girls?
Oh yeah, I think she's definitely a high pick after sharing that she was a three-time Little League player. I think that really put her over the top, and the coaches love that. But yeah, no doubt. I think look at this whole list. There's some great softball players on here, but I mean, I don't think any of them has played in this two-pitch format, right? So when that first pitch goes in the dirt and you only got one left, that's when I want to see who can come through, and when it's all or nothing. So I think they're in for a real shock once they see that pitching come down.
Yeah, and I think that's a good question, Donnie, for Donnie, because Donnie has been selected by the Fireballers as one of the pitchers for this big event. I mean, Donnie,
What?
living with one of the coaches, the coach who you're pitching for, has Lisa been asking to see you out in the backyard, throwing, practicing your pitches? Is there any change to your process and your mantra? We see you at Planet Fitness every day, and I'm getting calls and emails that we should be engaging the Athletic Commission to investigate. But is that because of your plan for your son's franchise? Is it because your plan for your wife's franchise? Or is it because you're gearing up for Dom Day 50 when the Beasleys return? Like, give us a little bit of inside information there.
Well, that's a loaded question, Justin. You kind of skipped around there in a lot of different directions. But
And
first off, I think,
a fairly
yeah,
long question.
the Fireballers select, each team was allowed to select two pitchers to pitch to the ladies. And the Fireballers went with myself and Buff Bauer. I mean,
Wow.
I'm not sure if they got to pick first or not, but and then the what are they, Gallegos girls, who did they pick? Was it
They
one of,
select Michael Woods,
yes,
and Mackenzie Filmon.
wow.
Yes, yeah. So I, apparently they picked second, but anyhow, so yeah, it's just a quite, I pitched for 46 years, right? And so these will be 10 new players that'll come up to bat one at a time, and it's just a matter of figuring them out, figuring out their form and their, where the pitches should go. And, that's probably going to take 3 innings before we can figure that out. And unfortunately, the game may be over by then. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think Gibber brought up a good point. I mean, for the ladies, the fact that they'll be up to the plate, and the focus on this game is going to be incredible. Like, it's not going to be like the rest of the games on the Saturday, right? Where typically, like, if we're, speaking for myself, if I'm not playing, I could give a rat's ass of what's going on out on the field. But in the girls' game, there's going to be 80 guys circled around the field, right? And every move is going to be watched and analyzed. And it's a different game, like Gibber says. When you've got, it's one thing to go out to the backyard and swing at pitches, but when you're in case, historic Case Field, and you come up for the first time, and there's 80 Dom Dayers and families and that staring at you, wondering what you're going to do. What are these girls going to come up with? That's the thing. I don't know, Cote, babe. I don't know what to expect.
Plus, Donnie, you've got the Guardian and the Gazette. They're going to be there too.
Yep.
They're all
That's
focused
what I
on this.
heard.
Who knows if TSN, Sportsnet, CBC. I mean, there's going to be a lot of focus, a lot of media focus on this too, which I don't think the girls realize right now.
I've heard that they're going to bring Bobby Brandt in on a large screen all the way from Australia just to give his 2 cents worth throughout it. And he could be a little bit opinionated regarding the females taking the field for the first time at Case Field.
That'd be great to have Bobby call the game from Australia. I think it'd be a brilliant idea, Cote. Brilliant.
He'd probably cheat like he did it the last time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
Yep.
he's known for,
Yep, 100%.
But I mean, I think the thing is, like, how is somebody like a Nat Jewett going to react to this?
Oh,
Like,
Noodles. Noodles is pressure. I mean, she's a doctor. I mean, if there's somebody goes down on that field, she's right out there. And that's why it's a great choice by Lisa. Lisa and I mean, Perfect. But
And then
hopefully
you.
this isn't the same shanty plan that the Leafs had. That's all I can say.
And then what about Angel? What about Angel Stevens? What is she going to do when she gets up there? I mean, I'm just looking at the draft of the program that has recently come out, and that's the other thing. We've got 20 new nicknames,
I
and
love
Angel Stevens, she's going to get up to play, and what are we going to get out of her, right? When you got the whole crowd yelling, Angel,
Oh,
Angel,
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 Angel, Angel.
right? And so I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I think
What
this
about
team.
Jonesy's daughter? Like, is she going to get into the piss like he used to do?
With a Bambino,
In her, or the
like,
Laura Jones, like her, this is her first shot at it. And I remember
yeah,
those early ones of Jonesy. He just couldn't put the bottle down. Is that what's going to happen to that school teacher, Laura?
well, I don't know if there's any inside info about some of the happy hours that she's been to, but I think the Bambino comes out swinging. I think she's going to make a
Bambino.
difference, so I but I th things are. Things are going to be topsy-turvy, and I don't know what the betting line's going to be on this game, but I think you might want to wait till right at the end before you lay money down, because I don't know. I don't know what to expect here.
Donnie, we should, you know what? We should take all our winnings from the track and put it on this game. We'll get everybody
Yeah.
together, put it on. I think it'll be really good. It'll be lovely.
Yeah,
Be
I
some
don't know
big
whether.
money to be won. Big money to be won
I
here.
mean, do you think we're looking at a 2-1 game or a 10-9 game? What do you think? Gibber, any insight? I mean, you've probably seen some of the ladies swing a bat. What do you think?
Depends if you're going for strikeouts there.
Yeah, I
Think it'll be a higher score than a low score.
you?
Yeah, I think they'll be able to hit. Maybe defense will be a little questionable.
Wow, Cote.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we might be looking at extra innings. So,
Like
or is
fifth
a
or
tie
fourth.
a tie, Justin? I don't know that we've got that far, have
There's
we?
no ties in Dom Day, I've been told many times before.
Yeah.
There are no ties in Dom Day.
I thought you said there'll be no crying in Dom Day.
Well, that I got to remind myself after every at bat. But yes, there is no crying in Dom Day either.
Tom,
All
I think
right,
Tom Hanks said that before he
gentlemen.
said the real line.
Before we wrap up on the Queen's Plate and get to the Dom Day draft, let's go around the horn with some predictions. Guys, who do you think is going to win? I'll start with Colin Woods. Who do you think is going to win the Queen's Plate?
Ooh,
Answer
tough one.
wisely. Answer wisely.
I know. Do I go
Yeah.
with the team that has my mom on it or the team that has my girlfriend on it?
I would go girlfriend, but that's just me, Colin. That's
Yeah,
advice between the Collins. Yeah.
mom's
Yeah.
probably going to get
Well,
over it easier.
Yeah.
how about an extra inning game with the Gallagher girls taking it home?
Oh, nice call.
Very good. Cote, who do you think's winning?
Yeah, I think maybe the hidden secret in there could be the newly minted Mrs. Shorey, Carly Size, could hit the game-winning run for the Gallagher girls to walk it off in a very successful month for Miss Size. So, I'll say the Gallagher girls led by Carly Size.
And that's a good call, Cote. I mean, I've heard rumor, just rumor, that she might be the best athlete in the Size family.
Oh, I don't think that's a rumor.
That's not a rumor, babe.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's out on the table. Yeah. I too am going to call the Gallagher girls. I think the Fireballers might get into the Fireball before. I think that's their team mantra, Fireball, Fireball, Fireball. I like their pitching. I think they're strong on 50% of their pitching. The one guy who has pitched for 46 years has struck out a lot of people, so I think that could be a bit of an issue for them. I like the fiery Teresa Wolf and Franny Size combo. And I look at that, and I look at Kelsey and Nicole. It's like going to Denny's and getting the eggs over Miami combo. I mean, it's just perfect. It's just ready to, make the scene. I think the Gallagher girls are gonna come out flying here.
All righty, Donnie, your big prediction.
Well, it might surprise you a little, but I'm going with the Fireballers. I like the makeup of the team. I mean, they did a fairly good job at drafting, and there's a couple unknowns that, I mean, what to expect out of the Bambino, Laura Jones. That could be critical. I mean, and I think Arma Woods could be a sleeper. She's been known to surprise us before. Certainly not in softball, but she's full of surprises. So I think Arma Woods and the Bambino, and then the number one pick overall, Alana Niskanen. I think this one could be over early. I have a feeling. So that's my take on it. But it's certainly going to be entertaining. And as I say, with all the eyes focused on the ladies, it's how are they going to respond? That's the big thing.
Yeah.
So,
And Donnie, are Kim and Holly McCray going to come out in the gray sweats? That's the big question. Are they both
you're
going to wear them?
in the original gray sweats,
Yeah,
or
the original. Garp still has them. I mean, they could be battling over that. Be
And
perfect.
a little bit of pressure playing under the Mr. Chirping of husband and father.
Oh man,
Yes.
can you
He
imagine
is
him?
not,
He'll be fired up.
he's not going to be sitting on that sideline quietly. No way.
But what an event. What an event this is
Oh,
going to
love
be,
it.
and certainly going to bring in an entire new aspect to Dom Day. So congratulations to the ladies.
Awesome. We're going to pivot over now to the Dom Day draft. I mean, there's a lot to discuss here, guys. And the only way to summarize it is I got a call the day after the draft from somebody who played in Dom Day One after reviewing the draft results. And his only response was, "What the fuck?" Guys, there's a lot to digest in this draft. There are guys who went higher than normal. There are a ton of guys who went lower than normal. This might be the most wide open Dom Day we have seen in a long time. So why don't we start with you, Cote? I mean, you've had a chance to kind of look at some of these rosters. Like, what is the first thing that jumps out to you as you look at the Dom Day draft results?
Well, yeah, it's kind of all over the place. Some guys you kind of really are surprised at. Like I looked, just flipping through it and go, I see Mitch Blacharski, 18th pick. Like he's probably just shaking in his boots because if I'm correct, if I believe he won the Brick last year, if I'm right, is that correct, gentlemen?
That is
Yes.
correct.
Yeah, so like he's got to be panicking that way, 100%. And then we've got Mr. Hall playing, right? Bobby Hall. Like, who are you? How are you going to show up, right? Like it's always that mystery for the first go around for that one there is to figure that out. So it's gonna be interesting all around. And obviously we're a little shorter on numbers this year. There's some key guys that really were influential in this tournament that aren't playing. Guys like Dane Walton, and I don't see Paul Sheppard in the lineup this year. And Paul Sheppard's wife would have been instrumental in the Queen's Plate. So it's going to be interesting how it all shakes out. And I can guarantee, with the exception of a few, nobody has played baseball since last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna hop over to. I think that's some good thoughts as well on some of the names we're missing, and we're not gonna call them retired because I don't think anybody ever fully retires from playing Dom Day because you can always come back when the mood sparks. But yeah, we're without some names. We're without Paul Sheppard. We're without Fergie. We're without Westy. We're without Minnow, Al McRae. There are some big names
Where's
missing.
Al?
Al is citing retirement or a 1 year hiatus. We'll see which one it ends up being. I mean, babe, for you playing in Dom Day One, seeing some of those names out, like what does that do to not only the draft but the tournament as a whole? Those are monstrous names.
Well, everybody retires at some point, but it's sad to see those guys. You're sort of hoping everybody stays on till Dom Day 50, and then a big change there. So, yeah, it's sad to see that. But Hopefully those guys come back. Fergie's talking about coming back. He's going to be, I think he's 73 this year. So he's talking about, he'll be in better shape when he's 74, maybe 75. So it'll be perfect to see a guy like him come back. Always sad to see guys leave, but as long as they're coming to the field, I think that's the big point. And you get Al coming. I heard that he was really afraid of the tariffs, and that's why he didn't want to play. And he didn't realize he was in Canada, so the price wouldn't go up. But he's, always notorious for, late payments and, getting the collection agency to phone afterwards. So that doesn't surprise me at all that he might not be playing this year. But you know what? It is what it is. And the guys who want to play are here. They're going to be, giving everything they have. It's 100%. I am concerned that, some of the guys whose, wives, girlfriends, significant others playing in the, noon game, are they going to be as focused as they can be for total dom day?
Gibber, what about you? So you were in the center of the draft. I mean, what was this whole thing like from your perspective? There were definitely some head scratching picks. I'm sure there were some where you were still scratching names off on page one, and you had to flip to page two to find some names. What was it like being in this kind of historically crazy draft, if you will?
Oh yeah, you realize once the list gets down, there's not a lot of great players left. So
Easy,
you're just battling
easy.
near the end. No, but I like to look at the family dynamics of the draft, right? So you got, Bobby finally taking his brother Mac, which, I've seen
Yeah.
some good Bobby and Mac fights in my day. So to see them finally bury the hatchet and get on the same team, that's just great to see. But then you look over at the herd and Adam Buff not taking either one of his brothers. It's making me think what's going on down there in Buffalo. What's been happening this past year or so? There's definitely some question marks I'm gonna be looking out for.
Yeah, and I mean for you as well. I mean as the coach of the Whippersnappers, I have laid the franchise at the feet of Kevin Woods multiple times. And with your first pick, you are doing the exact same thing. I've seen Kevin win championships. I've seen Kevin win bricks. But what's your mindset on what Kevin's going to bring to the Loose Cannons?
Yeah, that's kind of where the name came from, really, is Kevin Woods is a loose cannon, which we've seen. So, but yeah, so if everyone knows the news, Kevin is actually flying in again solo. So no Sarah and no kids. So we've seen that before. Usually that means I got to be taking care of him all weekend. So I figured, hey, let's just get on the same schedule and do this together. So we're really looking forward to this year.
That'll be good. That'll be good. So we know then for sure the Loose Cannons will be shutting down Ramos, which is
Oh,
a
yeah.
thing. So, and we know Cote and myself will be right there with you. So don't have to worry about locking up alone. So as we kind of get into the draft, I mean, we're going to look at, the biggest surprise, right? And this could either be a positive surprise or a negative surprise. But, babe, I'll start with you. What jumps out to you as the biggest surprise of the draft?
Well, I think seeing Nye go 32nd overall, which, other than Dom Day One, Donnie, I think that's the highest he's probably gone. And, I know we'll get into the talk about the brick later. Maybe he isn't my pick, but maybe he is. But that would be my biggest surprise right there, Justin.
Yeah. Donnie, what about you? What's your biggest surprise?
Oh, man, there was a lot of them. And, you have a hard time digesting the thought process of some of these coaches. But, I think overall, I think the biggest surprise is the fact we last year Buff was a third rounder, and this year he went in the sixth round, and surprisingly to the same franchise. So what happened there, right? So did the franchise, the Claw Crushers, is it Claw, babe, or Craw?
Craw,
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 craw.
claw, craw.
Did the Crushers effectively give up on Buff by passing on him in the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round? And then, did lightning strike all of a sudden and they're like, well, maybe we should take him in the sixth round? But to me, that's the biggest surprise. I mean, who would have thought the Buffster would fall three rounds. I'm shocked, so that's a big surprise. And the other one too is that I think and Gibber kind of skipped over this, but Rick Woods ended up on the loose cannons, which I think that ship has sailed. And I think you rookie coach, you certainly don't want to be one and done. And I'm not, I don't know about that pick. I just don't see it. But anyhow, that's just me. But those are my two biggest surprises.
Yeah. And Cote, what jumps out to you? What is your biggest kind of aha about this draft? I mean, you're a member of the herd. We haven't chatted about that team. We got both yourself and Babe on that team. Like, any thoughts on the herd or any surprises?
We're brilliant. We have an excellent team top to bottom. I don't think that there's a blemish in that lineup. So I definitely see us being in the final. That's how I look at it that way. That's an easy one. One I do, it's quite interesting, is the fact Nicky Wolf went in 23rd overall, which is, Nicky's always been pretty consistent. I think he's the all-time leader in wins. And for him to drop, I know it's a pretty good pick by Mike Wolf to take him in the third round, but 23rd. So be interesting to see how Nicky plays this year. He's a guy who probably still does play baseball on the side and stuff like that. So yeah, but I definitely see the herd being in the finals. That's a no-doubter.
Colin, what about you? Who was your biggest surprise of the draft? Or maybe who were you most excited to get your hands on later in the draft? Like, who was either somebody you saw on another team or somebody that you were just shocked you were able to land?
Yeah, I was definitely shocked to land the Jordan Patterson at 51. I mean, again, we're talking about loose cannons. That's just right on brand, exactly who we want. So that was one I was very happy to get. And then speaking of shock too, I got to go back to the Eric Niskanen at 32. I mean, we got some inside sources that Coach Jordan Niskanen, who was down at the Canadian Open before the draft, had to Uber his way up to the draft, so reports were saying that he was drinking a little bit, and maybe that had something to do with some of these picks. So, just a little inside scoop for the panel here.
Well, Canada, or Colin, I think we're as I look at your roster, and we'll go through it really quickly. I mean, we got Kevin, yourself, Kevin Taggart, Brett Walton, Hook Fisher, your dad, Jordan Patterson, Perch Peters, Clem Thorne, and Stubby Monroe. I mean, talking about loose cannons, is there a single guy who you think you're going to need to teach to get a little bit of an edge? Teach them what it's like to be a loose cannon, because candidly, I think you got players who fit the brand.
Yeah, and it all starts at Remo's. I think that is really how you can develop that title. So it will be a mandatory event for the team, and we will have people at the door making sure that no one is sneaking out early. So that's where it all starts on Friday night.
What's your plan with Clem Thorne? Or have you formulated one yet? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's same plan as we said. We'll figure it out at Remo's. So we go from there. It's a one-step plan.
Yeah.
Sort of
Yeah.
looks to me like you're picking a rock band, for Christ's sakes. Oh. You got the drummer in Clem, you got singer in Perch, guitar player in Jordan. Yeah, looks good though. I think you did a great job.
Yeah. So why don't we hop over as well, like as we're talking about surprises, I think another surprise for me is seeing Matt Shepherd at pick number 59, one of Dom Day's favorite wild cards, just a great guy on the sidelines, but you never know what you're going to get. But pick 59 has to be some value, right, for a guy as athletic as Matt Shepherd. Am I reading that right, babe? I don't know. Like, what's your thought on Matt Shepherd at 59? That's got to be the lowest he's ever gone.
Yeah, and I think he would have been a great pick for the loose cannons. I mean, talk about a guy who fits image. He would have been perfect for them. Yeah, I think he's going to be right in there for the mop. He's a very good athlete. I don't know what he's been, doing lately. I think is he still out in Saskatchewan?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably gotten in the farming life and, riding too much on the combine, probably got a keg on him now. So, well, it'll be good to see him though.
My concern about him is Ma and Pa babysitters aren't there this year, so who the hell knows what will happen? Unless he's been put under Teresa's wing, all hell could break loose with him in the bottle.
I think they're going to be there.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's what my info tells me.
Yes. The shepherds will be there.
Yeah,
The
I
shepherds
mean,
will be there. Yes.
yeah.
And actually Tish is one of the umpires for the Queen's Plate.
Okay. So they will be keeping an eye on that
Oh,
child.
yeah, we didn't
oh,
talk about that. Who's the other umpire there?
yeah. So you're allowed to have family
Yeah.
as one of the umpires? Yeah.
The umpires will be Tish Shepherd and Wendy Coates.
Yeah.
Good.
Wendy
Should
Coates,
have
who's
brought.
played no baseball ever.
And they will be audited in a post-game review by Wendy Coates after a few drinks on the Sunday championship. So they'll review the tape then. But yes, those are our umpires.
Was there any consideration given to Mrs. Wilson? I think she might have been a no-brainer for third base, but we
She would
can
have been great.
revisit that. But
Yeah.
yeah.
So we talked about the loose cannon. We've talked about the herd. This was an off season, I think, that a lot of people, were looking to see some kind of soul searching for the Claw Crushers. They had a bit of a shaky off season, if or a season last year, but they grounded it out. They found a way through, and I actually think they became a fan favorite. But people were saying we needed a little bit of a change of direction, and I think in a way they've delivered that. I mean, Donnie, what's your thought? Because this Claw Crushers, there's a lot of whispers that this might be the one powerhouse in Dom Day. What are your thoughts on the Crushers this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of soul searching after last year, and I'm not sure what the public story is about their former leader that was has been shelved for this tournament. But you look at their group, and they clearly went in a different direction. I mean, their first five picks, as their coach told me, he wanted to focus on people that knew how to play baseball, and they're fast, they're speedy. I mean, when you got, Donnelly, Rhinestone, Bad Moon Coats, Tulip Lush, and The Incredible Story. I mean, that's a pretty powerful first five. And even, Buff slides in the sixth round, and then Tubal Coats, who's another player at 48 that I think is a bargain. So that first seven guys, I think, will put the clock or the craw clushers in a good position.
Is it
It's
claw or
only,
craw, Donnie?
I think
Look
it's
at their
craw. Craw? Claw.
last three picks, though. Come on.
Well, that's where I was headed. I think that, difficulties come up when you get down to the bottom three. And, there's only so much you're going to get out of those guys. But just like the other teams, they've got to find a way, right? And so, but that I think that first group of seven is pretty impressive. So I think the Crushers will bring a different brand of ball to the field this year, and interesting to see what happens to them. And can they get anything out of the bottom three?
Well, you look at pick number 64, Larry Smith, self-proclaimed two-time Mupp Cup winner. I mean,
The Brockville Bomber.
Brockville Bomber. I mean, he's the difference maker right there, Donnie. If
Yeah.
Larry's going, this team's going. It all
Yeah,
rides on his
and
back.
he wasn't going last year, was he? It was the year before.
Yeah, a
Year
year
before.
before he
So
played
it's
really
every
well.
other year, yeah.
Last year he was going back to Brockville. I think
Yeah,
that was the only place he was going. But the year before, yes.
and then Tex provides that juice, right? Like, he's the juice guy on that team. So, when you look at and he's got to lead the way. He's got to lead that first seven. He's got to inject his experience and his enthusiasm and his pace. Can I call it pace? The pace he plays the game at is, that's what he's got to infuse into the top segment of that group. And I think he could be the one to do it. It
Texas
depends.
Texas got two new knees this year. Not just one, he's got two. They'll be flying out there. No, I think it's a great pick.
He's always a steal on, and in fact, especially when you look at the guys that, if Tex wasn't picked, who the hell were they going to pick? But anyhow, that's another story.
And I think as we kind of look, at the bottom of the orders, and we're going to get into kind of some final predictions on who's the breakout, who's your silver brick pick, and then ultimately who's your winner. One of the, there was a lot of chatter on, guys like Spencer Coates and Jordan Patterson just being unbelievable value where they went. But besides those guys, who I think everybody's kind of expecting bigger things from them, who are some of the other names that you guys think in those bottom of the orders are going to have a breakout tournament? Okay, what
Be.
do you got for a breakout?
I'm hoping. I don't know if it'll happen, but maybe Paul Dalmazzi, right? Kind of the quiet guy, and 56th overall, and maybe he'll have a breakout for Remo's regulars and bump himself up for the following year. So I'm gonna go with Paul Dalmazzi. Especially on a Sunday when he gets into the booze, he is a wild child. He is just like Gordy back in the day.
Babe, I mean, I'll ask you who you think, but maybe the other question on the breakout player is the Candyman can question mark, or are you going somewhere else for your breakout?
Well, the Candyman making the comeback, I think that's impressive, but I don't know where I'm going to go when the volcano blows because I think it's this year. I think it's happening this year.
He
Well,
is
it's going to blow, babe. It's it
this
is.
year.
It's going to.
He is getting married. He's officially going to be Wolfie's son-in-law. So there is something to be said about that final hurdle for his old Nikki father-in-law's blessing.
Nikki supposedly is giving him a bat from Dom Day One for a wedding gift. So I think it's very positive. I think he is going to be on fire this year, Volcano.
Donnie, who's your breakout player?
I quickly glanced over the volcano. The Candyman,
He can.
he can if he wants to, right? But he's been off for, 2 years. So what are we gonna get? I don't know.
Are you gonna get a rainbow?
But you can even eat the dishes
Yeah.
kind of thing, But I here's a guy. Let me throw this one at you guys. How about a Willie Walker at 45?
Good call, Donnie. You know what? He could find his old magic.
I mean, I don't know where the fuck it's gone, but that guy was a stud. What? Only what, 15 years ago?
We'll
So
call it 10 to 15.
yeah. But if he could bounce back, which I think he can, he's athletic, right? And you talk about breeding, and you look at his sire, so I have a funny feeling about Wee Willie. Great guy. I could see that happen easily. I'm going with Willie Walker.
So we went with the feel good of who your breakout is. Why don't we go with your brick pick? Colin, who do you think's winning the brick this year? Gibber.
Giver. All right. I was wondering that. I mean, my eyes go right to both the McRaes here. You got to think Ian's coming up. He's on a high right now, just getting married, having to take himself number four overall. That's where my eyes are looking right now. And then you also got his cousin, Spencer McRae, going second round at number 15. I think it's about time we got another McRae with a brick. So that's where I'm going with.
Cote, who are you giving the brick to?
Hey, I was looking at it. I got to jump on board what Gibber said. I think I'm giving it to Spinner McRae. Like that's a way too high a pick, and he gets just a little tipsy. His game goes sideways. So, I think similar to his father all those years ago that picked up a couple. I'm giving it to Spencer McRae.
Donnie, who's your brick pick? I know normally you go with Smidge, but Smidge has fallen to round four, surprisingly. Maybe a quick comment on Smidge's historic fall. Is it because of your prognostication that he's always a perennial brick winner, or is something more going on there? And then who you think is going to win the brick?
Smidge is a, he's some, he's a, I can't figure him out lately. Like I see he's over in Paris today. And I understand he's over at a batting camp just outside of Paris.
Paris, Ontario, or Paris, France, Donnie?
Paris, France. Yeah.
Yeah,
And then
just checking.
he's also, I don't know if he was in Bulgaria or on his way to Bulgaria, but they have a place there where you can make your own mitt, your own baseball mitt. And so, I think he's trying to figure his game out. And, the guy, hey, he's always going to be there with that cackle and that smile, right? That's the one thing, but, that ain't worth shit on the baseball field. So his stock is falling rapidly, and he may surprise, but I don't think so. I'm going to be side by side with him when the red cups come out with the fireball, but I don't know. I don't know. He's been disappointing lately, babe, don't you think? He's
You know what, Donnie? He's taken all the right steps, as you said. Going to camp out in France, getting a new glove in Bulgaria. I mean, I think he's doing a lot of positive things. The stock in their company has probably jumped up with the cheesies. So I think that's I think there's a lot of good things going for Smidge right now. And I don't think there's a pressure on him of being the third round choice. Now he's a fourth round choice. I think that really got to him. Being the
That may
third
work
or
to his
Yeah,
advantage.
I think it will.
But he's on the beers again, right? And so are they going to coddle him and protect him? And I mean, it's the same old story. They always have their friends, right? And they and Bobby can't cheat like he used to, so he's going to have to play all the guys, one after another. And are they the team that only has nine guys? Is it the
They
Beavers?
are. Yes, they are,
Yes.
and they're built around Milton's core four, right? As you mentioned, the core four got an extension. So I guess Donnie, back to the silver brick, does Smidge, even though he's fallen to the fourth, is he still your? Are you going with him as your brick pick for the fourth or third or fourth consecutive year, or is it somebody else jumping out to you?
No, I'm not gonna dig a grave for Smidge again. I think he's gonna be. I think he's gonna be a breakout year for him if they don't coddle him and treat him like a baby, like let him play, right, and let him make a difference. But that's up to him. But no, my brick pick is going to be Adam Buff. Something's going on there. I mean, he has no other buffs to associate with on that team. Am I correct? I think that's right.
Yeah,
He has,
that's correct. After having both of his brothers in Dom Day 45, he has decided to pivot and go with none of them.
So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think the reason why he had his brothers all the time was to kind of hide him, but now he doesn't have that. He can't hide behind JV Buff, and he can't hide behind Bard. And of course, he ditched Buff a couple of years ago. So now he's got to stand alone. And I see some potential for failure there on his part. So I'm going to go with him.
Alrighty, babe, who's your brick pick?
I mean, always tough to pick a brick winner, but I'd still have to go back to Nye. Your 32nd pick overall, a lot of controversy around that. Obviously, a pick that, Jordan is saying, hey, I've had a couple of cocktails, been treated well at the tournament. Maybe overserved, as somebody on this call would say. And then he gets the guilt feeling. He sees his sister go number one overall. He's feeling pressure to, I got to get a family member and I got to take him. Because, if I took Kizik at 32, I mean, that'd be an instant brick winner. but we wouldn't scratch that off. So yeah, I'm going to go with nine.
Fair enough. All right, our final two predictions. Who is the worst team on paper? Who is your prediction to most likely lose their Dom Day franchise in Dom Day 46? I will start with you, Cote.
You hate to throw any bunch of your friends under the bus, but when I look at the high flyers from top to bottom, they're kind of average. They're kind of average, and like you guys, like somebody mentioned earlier, Ian McRae just coming off getting married, kind of high on the hog that way. Jay Buff thinks he's best friends with fucking Josh Allen. That's a crock of shit. Evan Flanagan, second kid, he's probably got a third on the way already. So I just think there's a lot of question marks on that team. Willie Walker, and then there's last pick overall, Ryan Patterson. Who knows? He could fucking throw up on somebody right in the first game if he doesn't survive the night at Remo. So my pick for worst team is the High Flyers.
Baber, who's your pick worst team?
Well, you know what? I hate to disagree with Cote. And when you start disagreeing with one of the best of drafting, of scouting, of player personnel, of evaluation that Paul Coates possesses, I think you're going down the wrong path. So I'm going to stick with the High Flyers as well.
Wow.
I mean, you can't argue that. You can't argue that. Gibber, we're going to come to you in a second. Donnie, who is your prediction for the worst team?
Have we ever had two panelists pick the same team?
No, and the thing, Donnie, we've never had three or four panelists pick the same team.
And I don't even like the other guy who took the same pick as me.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
Well, I'm not going with the High Flyers. I look at the beers and I see, I don't know what I see. I mean, first of all, they can't rest anybody, right? So it's like they're all playing every inning, right? And that wears you down, especially when and it's not a young team, right? As I've said many times before, I hate it when the young guys get old, but they're old, and for them to play, consecutive innings in the 95 or whatever you guys call it, 32 degrees heat, that's gonna wear them down. And I don't see it. I mean, look at their bottom three. I mean, come on. I don't know. I just don't think they can survive. What's their schedule like? Does anybody know what their schedule is?
I mean, as one of those bottom three that you mentioned there, Donnie, is it the fact of thinking Tink calling for a pinch runner and I trot onto the field that doesn't inspire hope? Or do you think it's Tyson legging out a triple and tagging in Tink as the pinch runner? Is it the fleet of foot? There's a lot of fabric needed for this team for sure to get our jerseys ready. Is it that, or is it, as you said, the aging of the team?
Well, I think you nailed it, Justin. I mean, that's first and foremost. I mean, I would worry. If I was the coach of that team, I would worry. And if they happen to have, like, let's say they have a late game on the Saturday, I don't know their schedule, but that's going to be tough, man. I mean, look at those guys. How are they going to lug it out to the field, at 4 p.m. on a Saturday? I don't see it. I'm worried about them. I'm worried about them not just as a ball team, but as a sea of humanity. I worry about them. So I'm going with the beers.
All right, perfect. Sounds like on Sunday I'll be in the beers as well. So, based on Donnie's analysis, Gibber, who is your prediction for worst team? We're putting you on the spot as a coach. Who doesn't scare you?
Well, I mean, I think I'm just gonna feel like this team hasn't really gotten any love this podcast, so I'll give them a shout out, but I just don't like this Titans team. I think we're gonna see them at the bottom, and Coach Mikey's had a good run, but he's put a lot of faith in the Golden Jet, and I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out.
And Gibbert, you have no direct relation to Coach Bam Bam Woods, right? Coincidence that the last name is similar.
Yeah, we met at the draft. He's a good guy.
Yeah, the last time three Woods is paired up as they did on the last can the on the Loose Cannons, the Rebels won in Dom Day 33. So that is our way of segueing into the big prediction. Who do we think is winning Dom Day 46? Now, I get numerous emails, calls, and texts after we do this. So I'm going to say you guys cannot select your own team this year. If you cannot pick your team, who do you think wins Dom Day this year? I'll give you guys some time to review your choices because I know there were two herd selections, one loose cannon, and one claw crusher pick. Assuming we pivoted from that, Babe, who's your pick for the best team?
You know what? I'm going to say, even though I picked him for the brick, I think Remo's regulars. I think they're back for another championship. I like them. And I think they got a lot of depth. I look at Ken Kazicki. He's been going to Ben Johnson's running school of sprinting, so he'll be really good. Huffy can never underestimate the Huff. Chili Ellis, Jeremy Wolf, strong. Turnsey, always a key player. As Eric, as we said, you can have a brick winner and have a great team. Jordan, Dizzy and Taylor. I go, that's a very strong team. I look at their bottom three, and with Paul Dalmazzi, we're talking about maybe a breakout year for him. So I like them. I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, they've got some sluggers at the top and some real station to station hitters at the bottom. Just to your point, a really balanced squad. Cote, who's your pick to win the tournament?
I hate to say it, but Mike Woods always puts a real consistent team together, that being the Titans. And if you look at that lineup top to bottom, there's no real weak links. He's got a pretty consistent squad. So some of the guys I don't like, there's some assholes on that team. But at the end of the day, I think that they've got a pretty good shot to be in the final. Bam Bam can still knock him out of there, and hopefully he can put one over the fence and put it through his own fucking windshield.
Gibber, we're going to make you follow the prediction that your brother wins Dom Day. Who do you think is going to win?
I think you sold me on this Milton Core Four. I mean, I'm a believer in the Leafs Core Four, and you look at these Milton guys. I think
How'd that work
they
out
can
for the Leafs? Yeah,
finally put it
fucking worked out
together
well. Yeah, worked out well
next
for the
year.
Leafs again.
Yeah, so I don't know. The Milton Core Four, that's it for me.
Last fucking guy from Milton that was a good hockey player was John Tinelli.
Donnie, who's your prediction to win it all?
I like the loose cannons. I mean, I think that, the leadership is solid. The foundation, I mean, the two guys that I'm focused in on, and nobody's given them any love at all, is Merle Taggart at number three pick and Barney Walton at number four. I mean, those guys cannot be underestimated. I am telling you, those are two ball players right there. And I think their coach did a good job at getting them in that round. And I think, they're Perch Peters is a, he's got a lot of potential, right? If they can just get around the Clem Thorn, but I have faith in the Loose Cannons. I also like their logo. It's very nice, very creative. So I'm going to go with the Loose Cannons.
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid team. As I said, the last time there were three Woodses on a team, they won a championship with the Rebels. So, I mean, good omen for them. Another good omen. The last two Dom Day champions, both won in their rookie season with the Remos Regulars and the Kingsmen. So there are some other kind of omens out there that are saying this could be a squad, on top of the fact that, it is a really good lineup top to bottom, and they really embrace their loose cannon personality with every single player. So it'll be fun to watch, regardless of which team you guys are rooting for and who you think will win. It all kicks off on the Friday at 5:30 p.m. with the Loose Cannons facing off against the Herd, which will be including numerous members of our panel facing off in that game. So looking forward to 5:30 on Dom Day Friday. Before we wrap it up, I will go to Gibber, your first panel. Some final thoughts. What are you looking forward to the most at Dom Day?
I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing everybody getting out there. I mean, I love that Thursday night hockey game. I love getting on the ice, getting to the bar after, and just knowing that we got the whole weekend ahead of us. So I'm really looking forward to that night for sure.
Okay. I think everybody knows what you're looking forward to, but remind us what you're looking forward to the most at Dom Day.
Well, obviously, I always enjoy the party. You know that. This year, I'm going to be solo with my two sons, probably in the same
Oh,
hotel
fuck.
room. So
I
that's
see.
probably worth something like Trailer Park Boys of what that's going to all shake out like. That will be interesting in itself. But yeah, no, I always look forward to the party. Love the tunes. Like Gibber said, good to see everybody. So it'll be some people are getting a little long in the tooth and boring, but most people I like still. So I'll look forward to the whole weekend and the party.
Abe, what are you looking forward to?
Well, every year, I mean, it's just great to see everybody, but the sing along is always one of my favorites. Just sitting down and Case and the group playing. Maybe they get the Ballad of Windy Jim. Maybe that's in the repertoire this year. Great song. If anybody hasn't heard it, you got to tune in to, I think, is it on Chum FM in Toronto? But yeah, I really look forward to that. It's just a lot of fun. And I think without the bowling after it, there might be a few extra songs might go on an encore.
Alrighty, before we go to Donnie, Dizzy, any final thoughts? Anything we messed up? Anything the fans need to know about Dom Day Tales?
Oh, just can't wait to get back. Can't wait to see everybody. Can't wait to get out for the horse racing, the Windy Gym, hockey. Like Gibber said, I mean, you're just so excited to see everyone, and the weekend goes by so fast. Every moment's so much fun.
Hey Dizzy, how's it feel being back in your old room?
It's a lot nicer now.
Final
Just.
thought to you, Donnie.
Well, I think the, I always say that the Friday is one of my favorite days of the year, and you get up and you got about 2 hours to kill, and then over the field and get that fence up somehow, and hopefully we get enough bodies. Justin last year was a great turnout to get that fence done, and then over to the luncheon, over to the track, the Windy Gym, throwing the blanket on the horse, speedballing over to the field, play those games on to Remo's. So it's like nonstop, right? And just to get to see everybody and laugh and giggle and try to figure out a way to have a cold one or two along the way. That's what I look forward to. So really, really looking forward to Dom Day. Only 2 weeks now, guys. So time to buckle down. Back to Planet Fitness tomorrow. So.
Great stuff, guys. Another fantastic episode of Dom Day Tales. Our famous fact checker, Dizzy Patterson, is giving me the thumbs up that all the facts shared today on Dom Day Tales, as always, were 100% true and accurate. Anyways, the countdown is on. Dom Day is almost here. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the Men Cup or the alumni luncheon in the fence erection the next day, but we're almost there. Thanks again for listening. So don't forget to rate, like, and subscribe to the Dom Day Tales podcast. And see you next time.
I do love everything else a lot. I'm going to give you 8 and love and kisses.